Hi, everyone. Welcome in. It's Eagles Live. I'm Dave Spadaro. We're live at the NovaCare Complex on this Thursday. A step closer to Sunday night's Eagles-Giants game. You know the situation. You know the scenario. The Eagles, their back's up against the wall. 3-6. Absolutely. 0-0-0-0 margin for error. And injuries really are the topic of conversation this week for this football team. Michael Vick, King Dunlap, Jeremy Maclin, Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, all of those players missing practice on Wednesday. No word yet about their Thursday availability. Vic, of course, has the broken ribs. We'll find out if he's able to go. He has not been counted out for this game. So, I mean, there is some encouragement there. Chad Hall, promoted to the 53-man roster. Good kid, deserves it. Jarrad Page, disappointment in free agency. So I don't know if Chad Hall will play, but he's the guy who comes up, and I think he's pretty happy to be there. Thought he played well enough in training camp to make this football team. When you get Jeremy Maclin back and you have DeSean Jackson and you have Jason Avant and then you add Steve Smith, it really came down to Riley Cooper and Chad Hall, and the Eagles went with the bigger receiver, and that, of course, was Riley Cooper. So for all these weeks, Chad Hall's been working silently, practice squad, playing well, gets his chance. Will he play Sunday? Don't know. But glad to be back. And we're glad to have him back. Gives some effort. Kid's a tiny little fella. Plays hard. Loves it. I love guys like this who make it and who appreciate being here. Phone calls from you, yeah, we want them. 215-339-6709. On this Thursday, it's Coordinators Day, so Bobby April, Marty Morningwig, Juan Castillo meet the media. The questions are going to be critical, I think, and harsh. See what kind of answers they have. Adam Kaplan, our NFL reporter, will join us as well. Thank you all for joining us on this Thursday. Let's get to the phones now. John in Newcastle, Delaware. Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, John. How are you?
Pretty good.
What's on your mind?
Game Sunday, man.
I'm not talking about Sunday's game anymore. It's over with.
All right.
Are you still in agony?
Nah, not really. I'm just ready for this week.
The days go by slowly when the team struggles, doesn't it? Don't they?
Mm-hmm, yeah, it goes by slow.
Yeah. So listen, we were all really disappointed. And look, I've talked to Eagles fans all week. I know what you're thinking. It's a very bleak 3-6 record right now.
Yeah, well, I think we have a bunch of good players, but they're just not really like meshing together. I feel like it's more like an individuals trying to perform instead of pretty much performing as a team. But
yeah,
I don't know. It just seems like people aren't meshing.
Yeah, I would agree. There's just that chemistry is missing. There's that spirit of the team, the esprit de corps, the team first mentality, just doesn't seem to be there as it's been there in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, regardless, you know, let's see if they can pull together this Sunday night. Who do you like this weekend? Give me a prediction.
For this week?
Yes, sir.
What, like players or
score? Give me a prediction.
Score?
Yes.
I'm gonna say 24-21 Eagles.
Okay. Last-ditch effort for the Eagles to salvage the season? Is that how you look at it?
Yeah, well, it seems like the past few weeks have been a last effort, so hopefully we'll see.
And thanks for the call, John. The Eagles really just haven't responded at all these last 2 weeks. Maybe getting out of Philadelphia will help them focus and realize the urgency and all that. We've talked about it for weeks and weeks and weeks. You know, one player who really brings it every game in a limited role as a special teams player, and I think, honestly, I do think that Cole Anderson should now be mentioned among potential Pro Bowl players as covermen on special teams. he sat down last night with Chris McPherson on Eagles Nightly, and you know, Cole's just one of those players. He just goes out, nothing's given to him. He was really worried prior to the 53-man deadline, the cutdown, if he was going to make this team. He made the team. He's been a star on special teams and coverage. Eagles limiting Devin Hester, limiting Patrick Peterson and Cole Anderson, a big reason why. Let's go into the studio of Eagles Nightly.
We're pleased to be joined in the studio by, I'm saying, soon-to-be Pro Bowl special teamer Colt Anderson. It's not yet, a little early, a little premature, but you guys have had that good a season, you individually, where in the last 2 weeks, you went against Devin Hester, non-factor in the game. Last week, Patrick Peterson of the Cardinals, he didn't do anything on the return, and you were drawing penalties. It seems like the teams are specifically game-planning now to take you out of the scheme.
Yeah, you know, just like offense and defense, it's a team sport. You know, special teams is no different from those. It takes all 11 guys to cover kicks, cover punts, and you know, I'm just fortunate to be in the right place at the right time and make the plays.
But what's the mentality of a special teams ace? Because you know, you had a stellar career at Montana. Mm-hmm. You want to come into the league. You want to make your impact on defense, and you're being put in a position where on special teams that not every guy takes to that. Why do you think you've taken to that role?
Yeah, special teams, you got to have a different mentality. You know, you definitely got to play with your hair on fire, and you know, you can't second guess yourself. As soon as you second guess yourself, that other guy is going to have an edge on you, and you just got to you know, fly down the field, and you just got to react. There's no guessing. You just got to play.
What's it like working with Bobby April? Because he's known as one of the better special teams coaches in the league. I'm sure he's loved having a guy like you to work with during his time here in Philadelphia. What's it like to play for a coach like him?
It's great. You know, it's a dream come true to be able to play for, you know, one of the best special teams coaches in the history. He's proven that his formula works and his system works. And, you know, he just puts all players in the right place at the right time. He puts them in great positions. And, you know, we just got a great unit. You know, we're confident every week that we're going to go out there and dominate the special teams. And, you know, we challenge ourselves every week to be the best special teams unit out there.
You made an impact, though, from the very first time that you stepped on the field of the Philadelphia Eagles. It was that Washington game, I'm correct. I mean, and ever since that time, each and every week you look at the special teams production points, Colt Anderson is up here, and everyone else is a step or two below.
Yeah, it was about a year ago last week that I finally got a shot. You know, I was on the practice squad for a year and a half, and it was a tough year and a half, but I was just blessed to finally get a shot, and you know, I knew once I got opportunity, I wasn't going to look back. And I go out there every play like it's going to be my last, and I just got to make every opportunity count.
How much more cohesive is the special teams unit this season? Because Bobby April is getting used to being in Philadelphia, getting used to working with the guys. It seems like here now, with a full year under his belt, he has a core group of guys led by you to work with. What's the difference in the cohesiveness of that unit?
Like I said before, we just know that we got a great unit. We're confident in one another's abilities, and on top of that, Coach April, like I said, he just puts us in the right place. We got a great scheme every week, and we go out there and we just fly around and have fun. And that's what it's all about. Is when you're having fun, that's when you're playing your best ball.
What was it like the last week when you were able to draw the penalties? Mm-hmm. I mean, what's it like to get to that level where you know that guys have to pay particular attention to where number 30 is on the field at all times?
Yeah, you know, when you're able to draw a penalty, that's like getting a tackle. You know, it's better than getting a tackle, really, because where that penalty's drawn, it's 10 yards, you know, from there. So it's a great play anytime you can draw a penalty. So, you know, I guess that shows that they're scheming me a little bit, and it's a good play.
I know that you guys want the ultimate team success and the chance to make a run to the playoffs and hopefully go to the Super Bowl, but what would it mean to be able to go to the Pro Bowl as a special teams guy? It happened a few years ago with Ike Reese. What would it be like to have that kind of honor?
You know, it'd be a dream come true, obviously, but that's a long ways away. I'm not really looking towards that. You said it, man. It's a team sport right now, and I'm here for the Eagles, and we got a long ways to go. This season's not over by any means, and we're really confident that we can turn things around.
Now, off the field, you've had a busy last couple of weeks here. You became a father recently. Yep. Talk about that, and how has that changed your approach to the game, your approach to life overall?
Yeah, it's definitely changed my approach to life. Having a little man that, you know, counts on you every time I go home, there's no better feeling.
What's his name?
I had a baby boy on the same birthday as me, actually. October 25th this year. I'm October 25th, 1985. So that was the best birthday present I could ever have. And his name is Cage Russell Anderson. Same initials as myself.
Is that how you came up with the name?
Yeah, we wanted a C name. We kind of felt like Russell was going to be his middle name. So one day, Cage just popped in my head. I mentioned it to my fiance, and she loved it, and my family loved it. Her family loved it, and he was known as Baby Cage before he even came out, and
it
stuck, and we loved it, and he's the best thing that's ever happened to me.
So you're here late for meetings. What's it like when you go home? Because most guys get to be able to rest and put everything away. You don't get that luxury, obviously.
Yeah, I don't, but at the same time, I got the best fiance out there, Keely. She just makes everything so easy. She takes care of him, and and anytime he's sick or something, obviously I'm there to help, but she just, to be honest, it hasn't really been that tough. I'm able to go home, relax, and he's in the sleeping mood right now where he's sleeping a lot, so nothing's really changed except I go home and I have a bigger smile on my face.
You get to play for the Eagles, and then you have a fiance that's taking care of the baby. A lot of guys, I think, are jealous right now watching the show. Last thing I want to ask you is you also have an apparel brand off the field. A lot of people probably look at the hat like, what's going on with the trucker hat? Up top, talk about how you got that started.
All right, up top, my brother and I, it started back in college. I finished a game. We had a few guys on our team. We did a celebration, two guys jumping up. It's kind of caught on. I don't know if we started, but it's all over. But my brother just started calling him up top. Let's go up top. You guys are jumping up, colliding in the air. You know, we didn't know if it was a back slap, chest bump. So we just called it up top. Me and my brother always wanted to kind of do a clothing line. So we got a clothing line called Up Top. Right now we got a bunch of hats out there, hats, shirts, sweatshirts. Our webpage should be up soon. We're still getting the details worked out there because, you know, once we go live, we're expecting a lot of hits and a lot of gear flying out the door, so it's going to be a good brand, good apparel, and hopefully it catches on. So when our webpage gets up, we'll be sure to let you guys know.
Will it be uptop.com? Do you know?
It's going to be teamuptop.com. Okay. Teamuptop.com, and I'm sure we're going to get it going.
Opportunity is knocking at your door. Opportunity knocks but once and don't come back no more. Grab it in the night, grab it in the day, grab it right now, it'll get away. You better snatch and grab it, snatch and grab it.
Buy and sell tickets safely and securely at NFL.com Ticket Exchange.
Are you?
Yeah, in about 15 years.
I just want to commend you for sitting in coach.
Why?
Well, you're saving, but you still need some financial advice. We need a plan to help protect and grow our money throughout our life.
Retirement isn't the finish line.
Where are you going?
Back to first class. We can afford it now.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
Hey, the tune is Sean and he'll show you. To the house again, Shady. No one moves like Shady. No one moves like Shady. No one moves like Shady.
It goes to McCoy. Up the middle. He's at the 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. He is in. Touchdown, McCoy.
I'm LeSean McCoy. You're watching Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
PhiladelphiaEagles.com has you covered for every touchdown, every big hit, and every big play of this 2011 season with the kickoff show, the halftime report, and our post-game show presented by Rico.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to eibandme.com to learn more and get back to being active.
join us every night at 7 o'clock for 30 minutes of the latest Eagles news, notes, and anecdotes right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We call it Eagles Nightly, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock.
Is crossing the finish line the best way to start the season? We think so. Give them a running start with the brands they want at an unbeatable value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good. Official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles.
And have a little fun doing it.
Yeah.
You got a speaker? You got a speaker on you?
Yeah, I think so.
Tell those guys to sit alone.
Hey, checking in from Andy Reid. Told me to tell everybody. Sound effects, and he said hi.
Let's just get this over with and win.
Hey, look, that's what I'm saying. That's my check. Let's just get this over with and win. Not, look, let's focus in, do what we need to do, one play at a time, and get up out of here. It's 1 o'clock. I'm going home and watch some games. I'm a fan of the game. I'm going home and watch some games today.
Eagles on three, 1, 2, 3.
Tired of talking.
Talking,
ain't nothing to talk about. Wait, your set.
Damn it, we didn't have anything there, huh?
Nah, we ain't had nothing, coach.
Hey, let's get a drive together. They can't stop us.
Can't stop them. Let's go. Let's put a drive together. One play at a time. Focus. Well, keep your eye on 24. We know he all over the place, so I'm going to try to take our runs away from him. 94 down, 51 Mike. White 20! White 27!
I'm taking some quick throws. Let's get to some quicker throws.
Yep.
A lot of single safety middle on first safety. And second down.
Okay, let's play. Time to play. We're warmed up. Got a floor of the game, got a feel for the game. Time to go. White 27! White 27! Hey, we should have just based 58 right there. We're based the most. Yeah, because they was walking around, so we didn't know he was coming. Yeah.
On our sketch, we're gonna block 58. So we'll do that.
So base 58.
We're gonna base 58 on our sketch.
Okay.
Let's see how that rolls.
All right.
Let's go.
I'm about to make it happen.
Bobby.
I'm about to go make it happen.
See a little.
Relax, everybody. Relax. Have some fun. It's football. It's an honor and privilege to play this game. Let's go. Wait, wait, wait.
Vic takes the snap. He's back. He gets it out to Celek. Celek at the 35, 40, 45, midfield. Down in the Cardinals territory with a 20-yard gain.
Hey, come on, let's go put one down. We're going to go put one down. Let's go. All right, let's get one score before the half and then see it. Get one when we come out. Wait, touch it. Holding. That's a hole. That's a hole. Yeah, that's a hole. I seen it. Wait, Nathan!
Getting old, man. Getting caught behind.
Get them goddamn hamstrings are going, Mike.
Who got
I remember back in the old bowl, you jumped in the end zone.
I know. I can't get my
mind. Remember when you got hit? You spun around?
Yeah.
Goes to McCoy, and he is in for a touchdown.
The safety ran down. Steve was fighting to get off, and that gave him time to recover.
Steve fighting to get off? Go through your progression.
All right.
Hey, if you don't want to run, man, I'm going to try to get out.
Just get out.
Check down.
Just check it down, too.
The hits, man.
Whatever happened to Aldo Special?
I just had to move. You beat him.
I thought you could have got something to know, man.
Let me see it. Let me look at it. Here we go right here, Jay. That's the only reason I came off of it.
What's that? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you go over the top, I think you got a better chance. You'll be good. One play at a time. Every play ain't going to be right. We'll make 90% of them right. Wait, Nathan!
Ooh, what a move.
Mm-hmm.
as much as you can, get up and get out.
Yep.
We'll probably have no timeouts.
Yeah.
We've got two right now, but if we stop them a time or two.
Yeah.
All right?
Probably won't have that.
The agony, the agony, the agony of that loss to the Arizona Cardinals, this time through the sounds and the sights of the Eagles television network and the microphone placed on Michael Vick during the game. Painful game for him, painful game for us. Let's go back to the telephones before Bobby April comes along. Jameer in Long Island, New York. Hey, Jameer.
How's it going, bro?
You know, getting better and better. What can I say?
Well, you know what? To be honest with you, first and foremost, I'm a Philly fan to the day I die. I don't care what the record is.
Thank you.
And to be honest with you, every week we play, you know, nobody wants to see their team lose. But I do believe Philadelphia always shows positive signs on that green grass every week. You know, we always take charge, but it just seems like the second half we always struggle. And to be honest with you, I'm not happy with Austin Watts from Oakland. If it was up to me, I would trade him back.
Why? Why? Explain.
Well, to be honest with you, because, look, I mean, it's already set in stone. You got $60 million. When you came to Philadelphia, we expected you to perform. I mean, I think Cromartie Rogers to get a chance more than anything else. I mean, I mean, Asante Samuels, how much can he do by himself? He's an excellent cornerback. I mean, Anderson has been stepping up, but he's got to go. He's been getting, after that game with the Giants, Cruz made him look horrible on that grass. I'm not happy with him. I think that $60 million could have went to a couple more tools.
You know what, Jameer, I'm going to tell you this. You and I are thinking just completely opposite. I think that Nnamdi Asamoah is a very good cornerback who has done a good job, who's not been able to do what he does, and that's go follow a receiver around and shut him down. I've been more disappointed in number 22 than 24 by a long shot. By a long shot. By a not even close shot.
So you think he's performing?
Yes.
You think he's been performing better than Asante?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Well, you know what? Look, be honest with you. I know you know it can go both ways, but our defense in a whole is not what it used to be.
Oh,
and, I am happy that they took Casey Matthews out of the middle linebacker. I still think he has a lot to learn. I do think he has potential, but we need to stop the run. We need to stop the run, and there's too many passes being caught in the middle of the field. That's not Eagles defense.
It's when they play zone defense, it just seems like they're not on the same page, that they just don't really know where somebody else is. And, you know, the fact that the Cardinals could move Larry Fitzgerald around and keep him away from Nnamdi Asamoah, I mean, that enabled the Cardinals to dictate to the Eagles, you know, what they wanted to do in coverage and what they could do in coverage. They limited the Eagles. This is just an example of how important it is that the scheme fits the personnel, that the personnel buy into the scheme, that everybody's on the same page when they make adjustments. I'm very disappointed in the whole thing here. We all are. I look forward to it getting better. When that is, Jameer, I don't know. It may not be this week. It may be this week. Maybe it's next month. Maybe it's next year. I don't know.
But for me,
when I look at the team, Nnamdi is somebody that I want to build around moving forward.
Oh, you definitely can build around him. I mean, that I will agree with. You know, honestly speaking, I mean, not to contradict myself, I mean, he's a heck of an athlete. And I guess I expected so much more from him. You know, I just thought that field, so him and Asante, I just figured that, you know what, we would have shut down corners just as good as the Jets, you know?
Yeah.
And to see this, you know, some of these teams just doing what they want to do. But I'm still very, very pleased with Michael Vick. And he's still playing good football. And I love McCoy. McCoy is by far probably the most versatile running back in the league.
Give me a prediction, Jameer, for Sunday's game.
Huh?
Give me a prediction for Sunday's game, if you would, please.
I think that, honestly speaking, I despise the Giants, first and foremost. I don't know whoever's listening. I'm a New Yorker. I despise the Giants. And I do believe that Eagles are probably going to beat the Giants by 3 points. I think we're going to get them by a field goal.
Okay.
I think it's going to go down to the wire.
What do you want to say, 31-28?
Exactly. Yeah, I'm looking around those numbers because, you know, we both put up big numbers. And at the end of the day, Giant defensive line has been playing pretty solid. I do give it to him. But I do believe that Vic and McCoy is the difference. I'm pretty sure that we could shift around their defense and make things happen. And Deshaun Jackson, if you can hear me, man, wake up, man. I don't know where you are. I don't know if you're listening to the radio. Wake up, man. Wake up, man. Wake up.
Hey, thanks so much. Thanks for the call, Jameer. I'll say this, the Jets seem, now I don't watch a lot of their games, but they seem to play a lot of man-to-man defense, and they let Darrell Revis go and cover the best receiver and play man-to-man against him. This team does not do that. So Nnamdi has been relegated to playing right cornerback for the most part. They've moved him around a bit, but, you know, the Cardinals moved Larry Fitzgerald around enough last week that when they did damage to Fitzgerald, it wasn't with Nnamdi covering him. They moved him into the slot, and all of a sudden you have Jose Leo Hansen on him. They moved him into positions where Brandon Hughes was there. They moved him in where you know, that last play, that catch over the shoulder, that was supposed to be Asante Samuel running down the field with Jaquan Jarrett over the top. Well, it ended up being Jaquan Jarrett having to chase after Larry Fitzgerald because Asante wasn't there. Why he wasn't there, I can't answer that question. Perhaps he will. John in Philly joins us. Hey, John.
How you doing, Dave?
John, you know, look, I'm okay. How are you?
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm hurting.
Yeah. Okay? Yeah.
I'm up here. I go to school at Penn State, and I'm a big Eagle, huge Eagles fan. And I just, I mean, I'm still trying to stomach the loss that we lost to the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah.
With a backup quarterback. It's just terrible. My thing is, I mean, yeah, the offense didn't play good, and then the defense, they had spurts and sometimes. But my thing is, why do we play so much zone coverage?
And, I don't know.
And Larry Fitzgerald on the field, okay? I understand. You sign Nnamdi, and you know that's his thing. His thing, get up in your face, and play bump and run. And if you want to throw to his side, try it, and then let's see what happens. And Fitzgerald's one of the best receivers in the game. But zone, I mean, on the touchdown he had, the first touchdown, Brian Roll and Larry Fitzgerald. Hey, that's not a matchup.
John, hold on. I got to go. Bobby April's up now.
Hey, Bobby. Will Chad Hall return kicks?
Well, he's going to be a kick returner and punt returner. I don't know if he get the opportunity. He'll back up the guys we have going right now. He'll back up Deion. He'll back up Deshaun. But, you know, he could get an opportunity. You know, Coach will make that decision more than I will. And we haven't gone into detail about anything except the probability that he'll dress.
Do you chat as a returner, what he does well?
Well, you know, he's done a good job always of securing the ball, catching the ball, making good decisions. He gets the ball upfield quick. He's a good runner. He's a good running back. I think his vision's good. His quickness is good. The only game he really had an opportunity, he really had a chance, was last year in the Dallas game. And I thought he did a good job. He got the ball up good. He misjudged one ball in the air. He let hit the ground. But he did a nice job in that Dallas game. He really did.
Bobby, were you encouraged by what you saw from the two Henrys last week? Chaz seemed to punt better, and Alex had a pressure kick of over 40 yards and kicked off deep.
Yeah, I think they keep getting better. You know, I keep seeing improvement. They're working at it. They're conscientious. They're talented. And they kind of continue to, you know, just keep growing in the job. I think both of them, even though they're very talented, there's always, you know, inconsistency is the nemesis of those guys. It's just all of them, no matter who they are. And these guys are, you know, always fighting that, but they are improving, and they're improving kind of leaps and bounds, really. It's tough for, I don't know the reason, it's tough for rookies to perform well at those two positions. It just has historically been that way. There are exceptions, obviously, but there's not many. There's not many exceptions, and I think they're doing good. They're doing good.
Did Deshaun a couple weeks ago for his professionalism when it came to the, you know, the special teams in particular, and then obviously he missed a couple special teams meetings in a row on Saturday. So what happened in between that time?
You know, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not. You have to always, correct things when they happen, and you have to acknowledge things when they happen. And I acknowledge that he was doing a good job. We corrected when he didn't. So I just hopefully, you always do things to correct the behavior. You know, you don't do them for any other reason except to correct things and make things better. And that phase of it is really coaches. You know, Coach Reed's. He makes the decision on those things, and whatever he and Deshaun discussed, I'm really not privy to. But I think he's a better pro than he was a year ago. I hope things work out for him in terms of his own production, because it'll benefit the team. When it benefits the team, it benefits all of us. And so I'm hoping it goes in that direction. I think it will. Pretty sure it will.
Alex was rushed on that field goal because it seemed like there was some confusion as to whether you guys were going to kick it or not, even though it was,
that was my fourth. Something did happen to get the team out there late. Coach Reed had given the signal to kick the field goal. I really missed the signal. I missed the signal. And I needed to be sharper in watching his intent for that play. It wasn't a confusing deal. I mean, it wasn't a confusing deal. It was close enough for the field goal. We had enough distance that we probably would go for the field goal. He gave the sign, and I must have been grabbing personnel or. The offense was not wrong on that. The offense was not. They had absolutely. That's like a change in personnel. You know, so and so is not going to come out until he's replaced. So that's. I missed the signal. I missed it.
What happens to a special teams meeting when one of your primary members of the special teams isn't there? I mean, what kind of effect does that have?
Well, it's hard to tell because you're asking for a generalization collectively of everybody. I think guys know they got a job to do, and if somebody doesn't show up, they're going to do their job regardless. And really, the real pros, I mean, they'll have times. I know I've had times. I know I look young, but, you know, where I've had to come to work, have meetings, you know, when there's been consequences. I don't mean disciplinary consequences, but death of a parent. Serious accident by a child, stuff like that, that just life kind of forces you to face. You got to move on with your job. Some of those things are having a teammate not in the meeting is not like, you know, when somebody hands you that tightly wrapped American flag from a parent that was a war veteran. You know, you got the very next day, or maybe even that day, you still got a job to do. So I don't know. I don't know how that affects them. I mean, the thing is, you have to do as many things right, obviously, as you can. And our job is to make sure everything's linear. So how it affects the player, you know, I don't know. I didn't ask. I probably ought to know. But I think Coach Reed weighed what was best for the team. And that's the course of action, you know, he's responsible for. So I don't know. I can't really. You'd have to ask the player, because I didn't ask any of them.
So every week, last week, he drew some penalties even though he was double-teamed. How much do you see opposing special teams units game planning to stop him?
You know, I think the guy's really, I mean, you know, he's a special guy now. I mean, he's really a special guy. He's playing at a Pro Bowl rate for sure. I've had some guys make the Pro Bowl, and he's certainly playing at that level or maybe even higher. He's just a special guy. He plays with great intensity, great judgment, great confidence. And he has a knack. I mean, he has a knack because people do game plan him. There's a lot of things they're trying to do to him, but what you see in the end result maybe doesn't look like it. Guys, really, I mean, that was a great, great pickup for us. Howie Roseman had told me he had had his eye on it for a long time, and, you know, we discussed this a year ago, and he said, boy, you know, if we can get him, and then we had that opportunity. He showed him to me on film. Boy, he looked great. You know, we're very fortunate that he was available, because when we picked him up, he was certainly able to play for any of the 32 teams in this league, and he wasn't playing for any of them. Somewhere in there, our personnel people did a good job. I don't know, you know, if it was finding him. I don't know what it was, but we got him, and he's one of our absolute best, if not our best special team player.
Thank you.
And that is Bobby April, and yeah, he's talking about Colt Anderson there, and Colt Anderson has been a Pro Bowl caliber special teams cover man, has done a terrific job, and really, I think the special teams have shown quite a bit of improvement here. When you turn it over to a couple of rookies, Alex Henry has done a fine job as a punter, as a place kicker, missed those two field goals against the Niners, I know, but it's kicked off well. And as Bobby says, the rookie year is a tough year. You know, you got to get through that rookie season. And Alex Henry's been up and down, but seems to be getting a bit better. All right, let's go back to John in Philly. Hey, John, sorry about that. Thanks for waiting.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
You were in the middle of ranting, John.
Oh yeah, I was talking about our defense because, like, so much zone coverage. I mean, Larry Fitzgerald's first touchdown, he passed him off over the middle.
Yeah.
He finds a hole. I mean, Brian Roe versus Larry Fitzgerald, we're never going to win that matchup.
Yep.
I just don't understand. Like, in the red zone, we're just giving up. Like, what happened to the days where, you know, we used to hold everybody to field goals? There were no touchdowns. And if you did get them, it was lucky. But nowadays, we can't hold a soul to a field goal. It's like, as soon as they get inside the 20, you expect them to score. We used to be bend but don't break, but now we're bending and we're breaking.
John, it's been that way for 2 years. So whatever the Eagles are doing now that they didn't do when Jim Johnson was here, it's the Eagles miss Jim Johnson. They haven't really been able to play at that level defensively since Jim was here.
Yes, and you're right. And the thing is, the last two games, Chicago game and this game, Chicago max protected. They chipped. They brought tight ends and receivers in motion, chipped defensive ends, Babin and Trinkle. And then if you watched the Arizona game, they also kept a 6 in. And even times at 7 because they just wanted to give Skelton time. And the fact that, like, we started to blitz a little bit more in the second half, and it was starting to work. And I just don't understand why it took so long to, you know, bring some more pressure, because we weren't getting anything with our front four. Skelton had all day. Even in the Bears game, Cutler had all day. I mean, we didn't sack Cutler once. And he's known for being sacked. I mean, before the game, even, I know I'm talking about a week, 2 weeks ago. But, I mean, I counted on Jay Cutler giving at least 2 turnovers.
Yeah.
A fumble, a sack, an interception, or something.
Yeah. Hey, I'm with you.
It's so frustrating because, I mean, you see what we got out there and, like, you see the talent on the team, and you're just like, we're better than this, but our record doesn't show. The record shows we're terrible.
Yep. Yep. You know, yep.
Just really
But that's what you are what your record is, right? So the Eagles aren't a good team right now.
They're not playing good. And I also like the run game, okay? Now, I know we brought in Howard Mudd, and it seems like the only run play we run effectively is the sprint draw. I mean, and teams are catching on to it, so now they're not over-pursuing, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. In order for it to work, you know, Shady has to work his magic. But what happened to when we used to run, you know, a three wide, single back, just give it straight up the middle?
They don't run, and I want to get your prediction here in a second, John. They don't run a lot of two-back sets. They don't run a lot of fullback leads. They do run the sprint draw a lot. They run the pitch, run a lot of zone runs. I can't say that the sprint draw is the only one that's working. I mean, LeSean McCoy is having a fantastic season. So obviously more than that has worked, but I get your point. Hey, look, let's see what they do against the Giants. Let's see what kind of game plan they come in with and how they attack a Giants defense that really, if you let the Giants defense get into its rhythm and get after the quarterback, they're devastating.
We're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, give me a score.
I'll take – my Bradshaw's out, so I don't think Jacobs will get off. I'll take Eagles 24, Giants 21.
Thanks for the call, John. Thanks for holding, too.
Have a good one.
Good stuff. I tell you what, it's – Brandon Jacobs is one thing. DJ Ward is another. I mean, I just think the Giants, they just have a good scheme and they run the football well. They haven't run it very well this year. But for whatever reason, they move the football really well against this Eagles defense. They have a very good feel for what the Eagles want to do. And this isn't just against this defense. This is against the Eagles defenses of the last several years. So they do a very nice job. Let's take a little break. When we come back, we will hear from Juan Castillo. We'll hear from Marty Morningwig. It's Coordinators Day here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Adam Kaplan coming in after the press conferences to give his perspective on this team. A lot to get to here on Eagles Live. Dave Spadaro with you. We're coming right back.
Hey, Eagles fans. I'm Randall Cunningham, and you're watching Eagles Live.
You can say that I like things fast. Not because my supercar shoots the flames, but because I have Xfinity Internet. With all the laptops, smartphones, and tablets, I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
Papa John's, the official pizza of the Philadelphia Eagles, asks, are you ready for some football and pizza? Starting in preseason every Tuesday after a game, get a large Papa John's pizza for just $8.99. For every touchdown the Eagles score, you get a free topping. Double the toppings with an Eagles victory. How many toppings, I mean touchdowns, will they score? You score when the Eagles score. Your Papa John's pizza is just $8.99 every Tuesday throughout the season. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. Tuesdays are Eagles days at Papa John's.
We wanted to show Eagles fans what it's like watching their favorite team on Xfinity. So we went into Lincoln Financial Field and gave them the best seats in the house. If you want the Eagles, you want Xfinity, your home for the most live sports.
Hi everyone, I'm Eagles cheerleader Kat, and I'm here to talk about my favorite high school sports moment. My favorite moment was actually my senior year of high school, and it was at a football game. We were all cheering, and our team was actually down by 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, and everyone was very discouraged. It was pretty upsetting, and all of a sudden it just started to pour rain. And you would think that we would all be more upset and more distraught about it, but it actually pumped everybody up, and we ended up winning by 2 points. And it just goes to show that it doesn't have to be a large game, it doesn't even have to be about winning, but the smallest thing can really pump up your team. And every time I think about it, it reminds me of how important school spirit is. I encourage you to go onto PhiladelphiaEagles.com/rally and talk about your favorite high school sports moment. You could win an Eagles-themed pep rally for your high school with appearances from Swoop, Eagles alumni, and of course the Eagles cheerleaders.
She's even more beautiful now. Are you me? Quite a while from now. So, How'd I do? You did great. But don't forget about us. We still need financial advice. We have to protect and grow our money. You never know what's around the corner, Grandpa.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
Well, I got to let you know, I just felt a rumble in my belly. And you know what that means, people. That means it's time for me to get to my nearest 7-Eleven and go for two in crunch time. Look at those babies. Get any two taquitos for $2.29. That's it. For two taquitos. Go taquitos. Gotta love them at your participating 7-Eleven. It's a lunchtime, everybody. That's calling us loud and clear. Go for two in crunch time and get your taquitos now. Marty Morning Wake, Juan Castillo coming up next. We go to Tony in New York. Hi, Tony.
What's happening, Dave? How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
I'm back.
I haven't called. My company had a block on the computer, so it's back, though, and I'm back.
What?
And listen, I'm as frustrated as everybody, but let me say one thing. I've been dying to get through to you guys. I'm behind this team and this coaching staff 1,000%. I know it's a difficult thing to say, but coaches do not change overnight. Players do not change overnight. You look at this team consistently, how they won 2010, 10 wins, 2009, 11 wins, 2008, they had 9, 2006, 10. I mean, 2004, 13. Andy Reid is a good coach. They're having a bad season. That's just the reality of the NFL. Does it make it easy to swallow? Absolutely not. But I am behind this team. We got to take it one game at a time. I'm behind the players, and we just got to suck it up. We can't just, as Eagles fans, just give up because we're having one bad year. I listen to some of the sports radio stations in Philadelphia through the computer, and everybody's crying and whining. And listen, one game at a time, enjoy the football season, stand behind your coach, and stop crying. I'm 1,000% behind the team. We're going to beat the Giants this week, and we'll go from there.
All right, Tony, give me a prediction.
I say 30-17 Eagles.
Well, thank you for your optimism, Tony, and you're right. Andy Reid is a very fine coach, and I don't think he's going anywhere, but we shall see about that.
Thanks, bro.
But I think he says, thanks, Tony. Yeah, I think Andy Reid is in agony over this season, as everyone here is. Has Andy Reid made mistakes? Absolutely. Everybody here has made mistakes, and that's why this team is 3-6. They got to turn it around now and not look back. And I know the hopes are thin, slim, and marginal for the rest of the season, but you know, you got to go play it one at a time here. You got to play it one at a time. It's Coordinator Day here. We're waiting for Juan Castillo, Marty Morningweg. In the meantime, let's go to Jeff in North Jersey. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Jeff.
I just wanted to reiterate what the last caller said. A lot of teams go through ups and downs, you know, every year. Depends what they go through, what happens, but you got to stay behind the team, stay behind the organization. When
Thank
we went
you.
To the Super Bowl, nobody was trying to fire everybody and all that. You got to stay behind Andy Reid.
I think everyone here is. I mean, certainly the criticism out there. And look, I understand why they're feeling that way. They're people are frustrated. It's a team that you expected to have so much more success, and it's 3-6. So the head coach is the one who's out front taking all the bullets. That's just the way it works.
The margin of losing is literally inches.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
literally,
bounce of the ball. Yeah.
Literally inches.
Well, and here, give me your prediction real quick here because we're going to lose you. But inches, you mean like Nnamdi lining up in the neutral zone?
I mean inches like Brian Roll not tipping the ball.
Right.
And this is a lot of different things. It's just a bad season as a whole.
Yep, it is. So far. Let's hope it turns around Sunday night. Give me a prediction if you would, please, Jeff.
21-17.
Thank you, Jeff, and thanks for your very positive words, you and Tony. It hurts to lose. It is a bad feeling to be here 3-6, coming on here every day, going to the discussion boards. I know what you're thinking, and I appreciate what you're thinking, and I respect what your thoughts are. And the Eagles are 3-9 in their last 12 games, and that's unacceptable. What has gone wrong here? When the Eagles have to figure it out and fix it. 215-339-6709 is the number. We are waiting for Juan and for Marty. And they're kind of late, you know? Bobby April comes in around 11:25, and then there's this long gap, long, painful gap before we get to the other coordinators. So that gives us a chance to remind you about the blood drive that the Philadelphia Eagles are having in conjunction with the American Red Cross. That happens Saturday, December 3rd, the 4th Annual Philadelphia Blood Drive. Sign up now, redcrossblood.org/Eagles, 1-800-RED-CROSS. Let's go back into the auditorium and hear from Marty Mornenweg, Eagles offensive coordinator, who's got a lot to talk about. Let's go there.
All right. Real quick on that last ball game, it was, we've all got to do better there. We're top to bottom. And it's just that simple. Been through a select few of those, and tough to go through. The hard work, the preparation, and learning from mistakes, we've got to get better than that. All right. And this next ball game, great opportunity. Tremendous opportunity. We're going against quite possibly the best pass rushers in this league. So our front and our tight ends and our backs will have quite a challenge, as well as a great opportunity. Excellent defense, excellent scheme. So we'll open up to questions.
Given Deshaun's situation in that game, given Macklin's injury, given how Mike's inaccuracy in the game, did you think more about Shady, and why didn't you?
You mean what?
To give throwing the ball
or running the ball or what? Yeah. Or both? Well, I think he had, 17 touches or something like that. Certainly could have, you know. But they're playing us a bunch of one-on-one. We had plenty of opportunities there. You know, I don't want to act a little defensive or anything, but, we had some possibilities there. And certainly could have got it to him just a couple of more times. You know, in the fourth quarter was the part that I went back through just a little bit. And we got the ball out of there. We were backed up, got the ball out of there with some passes. And then there was a second and eight. Could have done that. And then we got the ball down there, and we ran two out of three times and kicked the field goal, if you remember. So there wasn't quite as many opportunities there in the fourth. Then all of a sudden we're behind and in 2 minutes, yeah.
Marty, are you optimistic about Michael's chances of playing Sunday night?
Yeah, he's a tough man. I'm always optimistic with him. He's doing everything possible to get ready for this next game, both in the training room as well as in the classroom.
Will he be able to throw all this afternoon?
This afternoon, I don't know that. Mike's day-to-day, and so we'll see how he feels. I talked to him briefly just a few minutes ago, but it wasn't about that. It was about his preparation.
How much is progress has Vince Young made compared to the beginning of the year to now? I mean, is he up to speed with the offense? And
leaps and bounds, yeah. You know, he came in without any offseason at all, a little bit shorter camp. He's been working hard. Both on the field and in the classroom, and Doug Peterson's done a great job with him. Got great confidence in Vince, and I think he'll play well.
Could Mike go essentially all week without practicing and sort everything, and then actually play?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Had many quarterbacks do that in the past.
Morning, Kevin Cobb had said that he was saw what you guys were doing, was able to call out some of your plays to his teammates there on the sideline.
Yeah, that's a story you can only anticipate. You know, an ex-player that is on another ball club and he's injured and wants so badly to be a part of a win. You know, I mean, that's calling out. You know, in the 2 minute, we only, if I remember right, we only called two plays on the line. You know, and we completed the third down and then dropped a big one. You know, so I think you can only anticipate those kind of things. That's. You know, we do a pretty good job self-scout. They saw very, very little of anything they saw before as far as formation and motions and shifts.
You don't think it was a factor then?
Well, it wasn't. I mean, it's clear on film. Also, I think that stuff's sort of overrated. Just put yourself in a let's say, a corner position and some guy on the sidelines yelling at you something, you got to trust yourself and your reads and all that. That's overblown quite a little bit. And I did go back through it. You know where you got to be careful is where they lock you. You know, a team locks you down and they don't say anything. That's where you got to be careful, guy that talks. But I did check it. It was absolutely no effect.
Do you expect to have Evan Mathis this week?
There's a good possibility. He's done everything possible in the last, 10 days or so to get himself ready for this ball game.
Do you think your offense works best when you're able to get McCoy more involved than he was Sunday?
I tried to do that just a little bit. We've had big games every which way. He's one of the dynamic players, like to get him the ball. Again, what was it, 17 touches? I think we're all right there. Yeah.
What about Macklin? What's his status as far as practicing today, and what do you think he looks like for Sunday?
Well, he didn't do anything in the walkthrough, but he's another player that's doing everything possible. Now, he's typically, past history, has been a really quick healer, and he's come a long way from the ball game. So we'll see on him as well.
If he doesn't play, who fills in for him?
Well, Riley has taken all the reps there, and we'll use everybody. Steve Smith and Jason Avant and Chad Hall is on the roster now. And so there's a possibility that he may be up. Don't know that yet.
Riley has to play. I don't believe he has any catches this year. Riley, if he ends up having to start or play a bigger role, what's been, I guess, holding him back this year, and what do you see from him if he does step in?
Well, opportunity has held him back. He's done a nice job. I think he made a big jump there in the training camp in those first few weeks of the season. He's been impressive in practice and the workouts.
Why are you optimistic that Vic can play Sunday? Aside from
where are we at here?
Right here. Why are you optimistic that Vic can play Sunday? Aside from the fact that he's tough. I mean, is there something about playing with two ribs that makes it?
He's a tough guy, and he wants to play, and he's tough both mentally and physically, and he's doing everything he can, and so we'll see.
Because he was wildly inaccurate on Sunday, you're worried that it may not be worth the risk if he's going to throw that way again?
Well, no, because I trust all of our players in every situation. You have to do that or you have very, very little. So, however, I will say when you're injured and playing, you have to play at a high level.
What did you see?
Were you surprised to find out he was hurt, or did you suspect it?
I knew he was hurt in just a little bit. I knew that. I certainly didn't know about that he actually fractured a couple ribs. I did not know that. During the game, I knew he was hurting a little bit, and he worked right through it. But it certainly did explain a few things,
Right. Yeah. When he's not as accurate as he has been, do you tailor things differently when you see that happening, or do you just assume? We're just going to try to get him opportunities and assume he's going to play at the level.
That's right. Look, I've had some experience, with some great, great quarterbacks. And the one thing that I've learned is, and it doesn't always work, but most of the time it works, you give them enough opportunities, they're going to get it done. And, with a great quarterback. So I was trying to get him in rhythm, just a little bit. So.
What did you see? I mean, he was so far off, and you didn't know that he had broken ribs. What did you see in his, was it his delivery?
He was so far off. There were a couple of throws, but we didn't help him any. We've got to help him a little bit. Any quarterback. I'm not talking just about Mike. We had five drops. All of us have to do better there. Yeah.
Where did you draw the line as a coach between having a guy being tough and trying to fight through an injury, and you as a coach needing to have all the information to know what you want to do and who you want to play?
Yeah, well, Mike's so tough, and he wasn't going to show any sign. That's a great mentality to have. But the communication is important, absolutely, yeah.
After the benching of Deshaun on Sunday, do you get the sense that he's recommitted?
Yeah, he's worked very, very hard in practice. He's worked hard in the classroom. So I've got no comment on that. Let's go play. Let's get our preparation done. Let's get our hard work done. Let's go play. That thing is over with. We move on.
Thanks.
All right, there you go. That is Marty Morningwig and the Eagles offense, a big challenge on Sunday against the Giants. The Giants come after the quarterback. So it doesn't sound like the Eagles are counting Michael Vick out by any stretch of the imagination. But if he plays, whoever plays, Kafka, Young, Vic, the Giants are coming after him. And they're going to hit him. And there's one thing to be tough, and then there's one thing to have your performance hampered by broken ribs. So we'll continue to monitor that and see. And we may not know until tomorrow. If Michael Vick doesn't practice tomorrow, not sure you play him. See if he's on the practice field tomorrow. Doesn't sound like he's going to be there today. That's just a guess. But the Eagles offense needs to find some answers. And Jeremy Maclin, very much a question mark. If he doesn't go, it's Riley Cooper, who has zero catches this year. And Maclin not practicing yesterday, not taking part in the team's walkthrough today. So he's a medical question mark as well. All of a sudden, this Eagles offense really has not been affected the last couple of weeks at all. And now they've got injuries to worry about to boot. So Giants are going to be licking their chops after that loss to the 49ers last week. Dave Spadaro with you, Eagles Live, the name of the show. It's Coordinators Day here. We've heard from Bobby April. We've heard from Marty Morningwig. Juan Castillo is next, defensive coordinator. And you can see the media kind of just hanging around waiting. I guess the big question with Juan, I don't know, looking ahead here is, How do you match up against the Giants? What do you do? What do you change up? What's happening in the fourth quarter? And I know Juan won't, specifically get into detail, but certainly something's got to give, right? Something's got to give. Dave Spadaro here. It's Eagles Live from the NovaCare Complex. We've got Eagles Nightly coming up tonight. Sal Palancionio from ESPN joins us in studio, right? Tony Dungy on the phone. Okay. That's big. That's huge. It's big and huge. And, of course, Sunday night, it's football night in America, night for the Eagles at the New Meadowlands, or whatever they're calling it these days, against the New York Giants, the leaders in the NFC East. This whole division turned around from last year. Eagles were at the top last year. Now they're at the bottom. Redskins still there at the bottom, but the Giants, Cowboys, all ahead of the Eagles. It's been a disappointing 9 games, but let's turn it around starting on Sunday night. All right, let's take a quick break. Juan Castillo is next. He should be along any minute right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Where do you go to find a super business? You know, the ones who do such a super job, they're backed by the super guarantee? Only Super Pages. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, you'll find the super business you need. So next time, let the good guys save the day. Get the super guarantee, only at Super Pages. In the book, on your phone, or online.
Empty backfield as Vic takes the snap. He's looking. He's being chased. He gets out of the way. He runs. He pumps.
We've seen this team struggle so much to close out games in the fourth quarter.
You know, that's something that, you know what, you know, the guys work hard. Everybody's working hard. You know, we're working on the fundamentals. And then you have to believe that things will change just like they did a few weeks ago. And you have to believe in those fundamentals. That's what we've always done here, and we've always been able to come out of this. You know, I think sometimes you get tested to see how strong your faith is, you know. I'm sure you got tested, you know, in your life, and you find out, well, how, you know, what kind of faith do you believe in what you do? I think these are the times, these are trying times, you know, for all of us. And then we have to believe in what we do, which we do, keep working hard, and things will change.
It seemed like in watching the game over again that basically you were beat by one guy in the fourth quarter, Larry Fitzgerald, and you couldn't seem to get him covered. What was going on there? They seemed to find favorable matchups for him. Why couldn't the Eagles defense adjust to that?
Well, you know, we did. I think Larry made some great plays. You know, I think the times that a lot of those catches, he was double covered. And, you know, unfortunately, he made some plays, you know. Les, that's the thing that's hard. You know, you saw that. I mean, he made some great catches, you know.
Nnamdi, you have him often in press coverage on one side. At the same time, you sometimes have Asante playing off on the other side. Is that a hard thing? Is that a complicated thing for you and for everybody? Or is that pretty common around the league?
Well, you know what? I think the first thing is that, you know, that's what Asante's best at. I mean, that's what he's made a living at. You know, we can say, you know, but I do know this, is that Asante intercepted a pass for a touchdown the other day, and it was against number 11. You know, Nam likes to press, you know, and that's what he's best at. So what we're trying to do is trying to use both of them, you know, to do that what they do best at.
Is that more complicated for everybody else when you try to do that?
Well, no, you just, you know, that's my job. I mean, I got to make sure that it's not, you know, and so that we get this thing done.
Safe to assume that Nnamdi will be used in a more traditional sense with Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie out for this game?
Yes, you know, it's a matchup. Sometimes the slot guy, you know, sometimes we may want to move Nam inside versus certain receivers that go inside depending on the matchup. So he'll still line up inside sometimes depending on the receiver, you know.
Not to belabor the fourth quarter thing, but in this last game, your defense was so good through three quarters and into the fourth quarter. You'd allowed 7 points. You know, they just hadn't even come close to scoring. And then all of a sudden, they have two really long touchdown drives. What changed?
Well, you know what? You know, that's the thing that, you know, we talked about, Les. You know, that, I mean, really, the last two games, you say, well, are you getting better? You know, we have been getting better. I mean, the last two games, you know, we scored a touchdown on a turnover. And then we set up, you know, some points. You know, this last game, Asante had an interception for a touchdown. And then Nam intercepted a pass, I think, at the plus 26. You know, so in that part, we're getting better. And I think what happened there at the end is, you know, our third downs. We had third down opportunities. You know, we had penalties. And really, you know, we weren't able to make some plays. And that's my responsibility. I got to do a better job with that.
He moves around a lot. You might, as you said, play him on the corner, play him in the slot. Asante's always on that same corner. Is there any reason why he doesn't get moved as well so you can move the other?
You know, the hard part, John, is that Asante Samuels has intercepted more passes than anybody else in the NFL in the last, I think, 4 years. I mean, you probably could help me with that, John, better than I could. You know, and he's done it on the left side. You know, so, I mean, he's pretty good over there, you know, and I think that's enough said there, you know.
So, Juan, is that why maybe you don't have Nnamdi on Fitzgerald all the time, because you don't want to block the side?
Yeah, right? You know, because you're looking at comparable corners, you know. You're looking at, not different styles, but just remember now, you know, that Asante did intercept the pass for a touchdown now. You know, I think that was pretty important. You know, I think that was important at that point in the game.
Are you surprised at all by the season Victor Cruz is having?
You what? You know, when we watched him on tape and we watched him in preseason, Paul, you know, we saw some of that. I mean, we talked about it when we played him the first time. You know, really, I mean, you saw that play he caught down in the, I mean, we had him double covered. You know, we could have had the corner come off on the tight end, but we, you know, we chose to double cover him because we felt that he was, you know, he was a playmaker. You saw it in preseason. So now, you know, and really he's become somebody that Eli likes to go to.
Brett doing anything different with them this year, or is Eli just playing at a much higher level?
You know, he's playing with a lot of confidence. I think, you know, the games that he's won in the fourth quarter has really made a difference. You know, the things that he started doing at the beginning of the year, all right, the pass concepts that we're using, I don't want to use the word safe, but they were a little different than the pass concepts that they're using now. They're going more down the field. I mean, it looks like you can tell that the coordinator and the quarterback have confidence in each other.
You probably don't know this because you're in here working all the time, but Andy Reid has become, there's a lot of talk about his future on the team, and a lot of people are pointing to his decision to hire you as defensive coordinator. Is it tough for you to know that maybe his future is tied to his decision to promote you?
Well, you know what, Jeff, you know, here's what I know, man, is that, you know, in life is you work hard, and you work hard, and you outwork people. And that usually when you do that, good things end up happening, sometimes later than sooner. But if you just outwork people and do things the right way, like Coach Reid has done here, and the way he's taught me, which is work hard, believe in all your players, never talk about your players, work your fundamentals, and you know what? Hey, you know what? 9 out of 12 years going to the playoffs is not a bad thing. So it's not over yet. You know, we're working our ass off. Excuse me. The players are doing it. The coaches are doing it. And you talk about Coach Reid, Jeff. Let me tell you, that man works 20, 21 hours a day. You know, sometimes 22 hours a day, you know. And that's what we're all doing right now to try to get this going. Because you know what? The fans don't like it, you know, and the organization don't like where we're at. But more than anything, we don't like where we're at. Our players don't like that. You're out there at practice, Jeff. You watch us work in fundamentals. None of those guys, you know, do they have character? Yeah, we have character, and that's what we have to prove. So all those things, you know, we're going on things that we've done, and we've had experience. We've had success with doing. You know, sometimes when people don't have success or doing certain things, well, then they can't believe in those things. But, you know, those things have happened for in our lives and here with the Philadelphia Eagles. So we believe in what we are doing.
It's still 3-6. So what more can you do that you haven't done already?
Well, you know what? I mean, the Green Bay Packers barely made it to the playoffs, right? I mean, it was at the end and they made it. You know, it's never over till it's over, right? And it's not over yet. And you know what? We're working our butts off. We're doing things that we believe have been successful for us. And we're fighting, you know, and we have a lot of high character guys. And just know that as long as I know that everybody's working hard, you know, we're trying to get this thing fixed and get going. And that's what we're going to do.
All right, that is Juan Castillo, Eagles defensive coordinator. Dave Spadaro with you. Juan was very passionate there, and I liked what he had to say. You know, now let's see the defense play four quarters and get better and beat the Giants on Sunday night. Dave Spadaro here. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Adam Kaplan, our football writer, NFL analyst, joins us in studio. Talk about this big one Sunday night. It's the Eagles and the Giants. At the New Meadowlands. And Sunday Night Football.
Where do you go to find a super business? You know, the ones who do such a super job, they're backed by the super guarantee? Only Super Pages. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, you'll find the super business you need. So next time, let the good guys save the day. Get the super guarantee, only at Super Pages. In the book, on your phone, or online.
empty backfield as Vic takes the snap. He's looking. He's being chased. He gets out of the way. He runs. He pumps. He fires. Touchdown!
I'm Michael Vick, and you're watching Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
You can say that I like things fast. Not because my supercar shoots the flames, but because I have Xfinity Internet. With all the laptops, smartphones, and tablets, I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
40 years. 14,610 days. 1.2 billion seconds of Gatorade science, passion, and evolution. All for the 1 second you needed. The G-Series. Prime. Perform. Recover.
Exciting. They're a good football team. They're better than they were the last time we played them. I happen to think since we played them, they've played a bunch of good games in a row. Five of their six losses are 7 points or less. What has happened with their team is they have 21 giveaways. They have seven in the red zone. And their fourth quarter differentiation is 74 points to 27. So when you add that all up, the fact that they're number one in rushing, they're averaging 418 yards a game. They're second in the league in 20-yard or more plays. McCoy is having an outstanding year. I'm not going to believe that Michael Vick won't play until I see him not jog out there. Defensively, they're 13th in the league. They're playing, really, they're playing very physical, and they look like a group from a few years ago. They play two sets of defensive lines. They attack. Their blitz package is picked up. They're doing more out of the secondary in terms of blitzes. And their kicking game is, they have the sixth best kickoff coverage team, the eighth best punt coverage team in the league. They're fast. They take great pride in that. They always have number 10 back there in punt returns. So we know enough about that. So, you know, as I said, in the division, Sunday night, it's a big game. There's seven games left on our schedule. We have a seven-game season here, so we look forward to this.
As you mentioned the other day on the call briefly, if you know, because Vic is such an unusual athlete and quarterback, do you have to prepare for two guys? You know, I know you think he's going to play, but he might not play. And if so, does Vince Young present a lot of the same things so it's not as difficult?
I think that's similar to how we'll play and prepare. Except for the fact right and left, or left and right.
As opposed to whether the classic pocket quarterback, I mean, so you can prepare.
I think preparation would be similar.
Tom, what's the status of Michael Boley, and how difficult is the job of stopping McCoy if you have to be without him?
Well, we would prefer to have Michael Boley for sure, but he'll be day-to-day, won't work today. McCoy is difficult to defend anybody. I mean, you look at what they did to Dallas with their run game. You look at the way in which what I call their sprint draw has been effective here of late. He's made many, many big runs. And of course, their screen game is outstanding to him, to the tight end, to the wide receivers. They do a very good job of that.
Tom, a lot of the impression of the Eagles lately has been, you know, that they're kind of out of it. They did too much damage to themselves early in the season. What do you say to that kind of perception?
I don't believe that at all. I don't look at it that way. No matter when it is in the season, I'm concerned about our team. When we play them, they're very, very formidable. They have great pride. They're playing to win just like everybody else is. They're talented. They'd like nothing else, nothing more than to beat us. We'd like nothing more than to beat them. We'll accomplish that.
What was happening on Sunday? Was it the two rookies, Jones and Taysom?
One of the rookies, yes. you know, veteran that can do that.
Well, it's my honor to be joined by Eagles defensive end Trent Cole in the studio. Trent, before we get into football, I got to ask you this question. So, it's turkey season. Give me the whole routine when a hunter would bag a turkey. How's it work?
Well, if it's turkey season, usually that happens in the spring.
Oh, really? So it's not now? Like, I want to go get a fresh Tom turkey. I can't do that?
There is a fall season for it. There is a fall season for it. But mainly, you know, we prefer the spring. You know, this time, this is more of a deer hunting time around the fall when it's cold. But
what's better for you, fresh deer, fresh turkey?
Both. Okay. Both. It don't matter. But, you know, when one pursues one, you know, you're going out into an element, you're going out in an environment that, you know, it's harder than what you think, way harder than what you think, because you see them out every day, just over here and here and here, but when you're going out there to pursue, you know, they're not there for some reason. And that's all comes with the experience and learning how to, you know, to get close to, you know, to your prep, you know what I'm saying, to your game, yeah. So it's like I said, it's a cat and mouse game.
It's very similar to your job.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, you got a big one on Sunday night here, hunting down a quarterback, Eli Manning, very good quarterback. He's become a really good quarterback. He's had a very good season. When you watch him, Trent, what do you see in him in terms of what he's doing so well?
He's stepped his game up. He's carrying that team pretty well. And, I mean, he stepped up his game a lot, you know what I'm saying, since, I mean, to get him the season. And, they're a good team right now. And, you know, we had to go into that game and treat them like, you know, they're one of the top teams in the NFL. And you know, he's one of the guys that we got to key on to stop. You know, we got to get as much pressure we can on him and also stop the running game.
What's it like in the locker room now? Give me the pulse of the team.
You want to know what it's like in the locker room? I'll say this, you know, so we usually don't give people, you know, the feeling of what's in the locker room, but it's great right now. You know, guys are excited. You know, even though we've been we've lost a few games here and there, but guys are pumped and excited, you know, and moving forward, you know, moving on from this past losing streak we've had, and we're on an upbeat level right now.
So good.
Practice has been great. You know, we've been. It feels good right now.
It really is important to have a short memory in this league, isn't it?
Yeah, and
win or lose.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta learn how to move forward. You know, we're professional football players, and being a professional, you gotta learn how to move on.
Trent, do you like night games?
Yeah, I love night games. You know, I seem to have good games during the night games, so that's one reason I like night games.
Okay, big one for you. The Giants' running game hasn't been quite as effective. Still, I guess with Brandon Jacobs, you don't know about Ahmad Bradshaw. They do pose a very strenuous threat.
They do. You know, they're Bradshaw and Jacobs. You know, they're good. They're good running backs, and you know, they run hard. You know, and you know, like I said, it's they pose a threat. But like I said, we're gonna go in there and do what we do best, and have a great win, and go in there, come back Philly with a win.
Trent, what are you seeing? Last thing here, what are you seeing blocking wise? A lot of chipping, a lot of doubles. A lot of quick releases from the quarterbacks?
You know, just in past games. Yeah. I mean, past games, you know, I say our defense is, and there's a lot of respect for our defense, you know, just all around, because, you know, this well as the D-line, you know, we're seeing a lot of eight-man protection. You know, we're seeing chips, everything. And you look at any other team, any other game, that's not happening. So, it's, you know, there's a lot of respect. You know, that tells you, you know, how good our defense is, you know, and if anybody wants to talk about our defense, they can't talk about them, because if you look at any other team around here, and any other game that goes on, watch how they get blocked and watch how our defense gets blocked, and we still manage to get there.
What will it take to get back that fourth quarter domination, the feeling of, okay, it's a tight game in the fourth quarter, now let's go win the game? Because it's been a problem this year.
Yeah, you know, it's to win games is every unit has to be doing their job. And you can't go out in the game and have errors, you know, and turnovers. You can't win games with them, you know. You got to play sound football. And the teams that are playing sound football win games. And also, it's a matter of you starting strong and finishing strong. And if you look at the past games, our game's been close.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just ain't been finishing strong, you know. If we would have just a little bit more stronger than what we did, we would have won every game we played.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
I mean, pretty much. And we won every game we played. Agreed. And pretty much, you know, you can't – we know what kind of team we have. We have a great team.
Okay. Well,
it's just we just ain't finished strong.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's frustrating, though.
Yeah.
Fans are frustrated. You know, I'm sure you're frustrated, but you got to move on.
So the Sunday, we got to make
it. Let's go. Let's turn around.
Make a turnaround this Sunday.
Trent Cole, thanks for joining us in the studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, online banking with bill pay, and the flexible options you need to help make the pieces of your life or your business fit together a little better. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to eibandme.com to learn more and get back to being active.
Show Eagles fans what it's like watching their favorite team on Xfinity. So we went into Lincoln Financial Field and gave them the best seats in the house. If you want the Eagles, you want Xfinity, your home for the most live sports.
Vic gives to McCoy. First down and more. 40, 35, 30, 25, 20. McCoy in for the touchdown! A 49-yard touchdown run by Shady McCoy.
Hi, I'm LeSean McCoy, and you're watching Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Where do you go to find a super business? You know, the ones who do such a super job, they're backed by the super guarantee. Only Super Pages. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, you'll find the super business you need. So next time, let the good guys save the day. Get the super guarantee. Only at Super Pages. In the book, on your phone, or online.
I'm Dave Spadaro, joined by our NFL reporter, Adam Kaplan, talking about this Eagles matchup on Sunday night against the New York Giants. Adam, good afternoon for you.
Hello, sir.
Well, hey, another fourth quarter lead. I mean, let's just step back here. Give me the perspective. Mm-hmm. Not what's happened, but where do the Eagles go from here? How quickly do they turn this thing around?
Well, they have 7 games left. And that's the thing that we have to keep track of. Now, what does that really mean? They're 3-6. Can they really make the playoffs? What are they really playing for right now? I think that's the way you sum it up. They're still mathematically in it. You just want to start playing good football, winning football, not playing down to the level of competition. I think that's how I would sum up right now. Now, last week was a microcosm of their entire season. When you think you can figure this team out, you have no idea. You have no idea. You know, I've said on your show, this is a week-to-week team. It's
clearly a weak team because I have no idea what to expect. When players are there to be made, they don't make them. You see flashes.
Has it become mental?
Yeah, well, the mental errors, there's one right there. I mean, the mental errors.
Well, what happened on that play? You saw the film.
Yeah, I mean, Jarrett, you don't. First of all, you don't want Jaquan Jarrett covering Larry Fitzgerald one-on-one.
Where's Sasante here?
He's trailing is what he's trailing.
Supposed to be trailing?
But here's the thing. Because they're playing zone, you're getting that's what the Cardinals want. They want somebody passing off Fitzgerald to a rookie safety.
Why would
the function of zone is. I mean, that's what you get the zone exchange. You know, you don't want that, but that's what happened there. That's by play design by the Cardinals. They did a good job there. But one play does not make a game. There are several plays that they could have made. There's no question about it. Now, they did a really good job for a while there against Skelton. I mean, Skelton made a couple big-time throws, which I told you on your show last week he can do if you let him. He's got a big arm. But the thing that surprised me is they did not get home with their rush as much as I thought they would against arguably the worst offensive line in football.
They had four sacks.
But you know what? Those are four plays in a game.
Oh, I agree.
I'm telling you. Where were the turnovers? I mean, you had the bonehead play by Skelton.
Well, you had an interception. Asamoah had an interception. Asante had an interception for a touchdown. I mean, there were.
You know what? I'm telling you, there were plays that they could have made. I watched that tape in the
fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what I'm asking you.
Yeah, exactly.
What is going on with this team in the fourth quarter?
I think it's mental. I don't know if that the players only know this, but sometimes it looks to me that they're getting tight a little bit. I don't know if they expect to make plays. That's what I said about creating turnovers. Yeah, they had two or three really big time splash plays. There were plenty of plays to be made there and in that game. I mean, the tight ends have been hurting the Eagles all season. Well, they didn't have to worry about the tight ends because Hauser didn't play. He was very athletic, and Todd Heap wasn't there.
Yeah.
Levi Brown's the worst left tackle in football. You got to beat these guys consistently. I'm not sure. I couldn't tell you what Juan's game plan was, but there were plays certainly in the first three quarters they were making. I thought they would destroy this offense. I didn't think
the
Cardinals
would
score. Let's
talk about the future. Okay, yeah. We've
talked about this.
The Cardinals, okay. I've been talking about it all
right.
week. I mean,
we're moving on here.
Yeah,
right.
The Giants, it's a big matchup. They're a good team.
They've had
their problems. They lost last week in San Francisco. They beat the Eagles earlier in the season. This is a grudge match. This is a great rivalry. How do you beat the Giants?
I think you got to be very disciplined. You cannot have mental errors. And the thing that you were talking to Trent Cole about this, what they're trying to do, and Juan Castillo talked about this. They're going down the field more, and here's an interesting situation. When breaking down Eli's numbers through this year and last year, after what have they played, 9 games, 10 games, whatever it is, Eli's got 600 more yards from the same amount of games. That's a lot.
Substantial, yeah.
And here's another thing. They're just not running the ball very much, and they're not running very well. They become almost a passing offense, which was the proclivity of Kevin Gilbride, if you study him.
Yes, his history, right.
Before he came to the Giants, but Tom Coughlin's all about power running. Ahmad Bradshaw's not playing. They've got DJ Ware as a change of pace back, you'll see on third downs. The primary first and second down back is going to be Brandon Jacobs.
Yeah.
Ordinarily, you'd make Eli a thrower, but he's been so accurate. He's never been this accurate. His completion percentage shows it. And the thing that he's doing is, he's thrown that ball well downfield. And Victor Cruz, how about this number Greg Cosell gave us last? You'll hear this when we do the film room piece. This shocked me. Victor Cruz is like the best third down receiver at running after the catch. I mean, it's like 17 or 18 yards per catch. No, I'm sorry. It's 22 is the number, 22 yards per catch. It's like 17 yards. Then he's getting like 5 or 6 yards per running after the catch. You got to worry about this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And Nick's, despite his injuries, they're throwing it down the field to him. And Manningham's done a great job. Now, this Jake Ballard.
Terrific job as tight end.
How about Jake Ballard when they signed him out of Ohio State was strictly a blocker? He's 6'7". They use him the same way. Down the seam, he makes one move, but yet he gets open. And he's deadly in the red zone. So you've got a lot of passing options here. The Eagles defenders have to do a lot of studying here. There's no question about it. I'm not worried about the running game as much because they're not. You kind of know
against, or do you play the zone that the Eagles have struggled with?
Well, here's the thing. You could play a matchup zone, which the Eagles like to do. Nnamdi is on one side, and you've got Samuel on the other side. Right cornerback is always going to be the same, and left cornerback is always going to be the same. You don't have to do the zone exchange stuff. I'd play them strict man sides, just like they would do in Oakland with Nnamdi. Mm-hmm. Why can't you do that? But, again, it's situational.
Well, you know why they can't do that? Because you can't move Asante
around.
I know.
You can't. Asante's got to be off. That's the problem. That's why you have to play zone on that side.
Let's talk about the Eagles' offense matchup. Do you expect Michael Vick to play?
That's a question I've gotten all week, and here's what I've said, and I'm going to stick with it. It's pain tolerance with broken ribs. Then the other thing is, you know, the coaches said, well, he could play without practicing. Michael Vick's a guy who needs practice time. Even if it's a little bit on Friday, which is a light practice, just get him out there. You got to see how he throws the football. I think it would be a mistake to put him out there. I've said all week I won't say anything about who's playing until after Friday. Macklin, I don't think, is going to play. I wouldn't roll him out. My understanding, talk to somebody who has a pretty good idea what's going on. They got lucky with the hamstring because I talked to Macklin after the game, and he said to me, I haven't put this out there, but I'll tell you what he said to me, and I thought it was a great quote. I haven't had a hamstring injury like this, so I'm not sure yet. But the shoulder, they're kind of lucky. Their understanding was it might be worse than they thought, but after the testing was done, it's not that bad. He needs to get range of motion. He's not there yet. And then, you know, Riley Cooper, although I think Avant will still probably play there a little bit. Riley Cooper's got good size, but he doesn't run well as Macklin. You're getting Jackson back, as long as he doesn't get into trouble, but you might not have Macklin. It's a tough thing, but the good thing that we're seeing with Brent Celek, he's heavily involved. He is heavily involved. So what's going to happen in the fourth quarter with the running back? Is he going to get the football?
Yeah. We've talked every week, Adam, since before training camp. Never did I ever see 3-6.
No.
Never.
I thought they'd be slow off the mark. I'm wrong. I mean, the people who said 9-7 were saying they didn't think they could put it together very quickly. And those people are right. I was wrong.
Yeah. It's been confounding, and it's been challenging for everyone, and let's hope it kind of changes here on Sunday night.
I look forward to seeing, because every time I think, I've been terrible at calling games, as you know. This season, years past, have been very good. This year, everything, almost all but two games, I've been wrong. I'm picking the Giants. I think it's going to be closer than people think. I don't know why, but every time I think that the Eagles will get blown out, it's close. When I think they're going to blow out a team, it's not a blowout. As you've told me, these games are always close. I remember when I picked the Giants in the first game. No, I picked the Eagles in the first. But you told me. No, it's because when I didn't think the Giants were that good. You said, I'm just telling you. You told me at practice. I'll never forget it. These games are always close.
Yeah. The Giants move the ball against the scheme. I know the scheme's changed, right, but they just have a good feel for what the Eagles want to do.
Manning is the best.
And
Eli's
a good player. Yeah.
Now, I will say this. Here's what you want.
You got to hit him, put him off, get him off his spot.
You want him to turn his body in the face of pressure. He makes dumb mistakes when you get pressure on him. He rushes himself and he turns his body and he throws off his back foot. That's when he's at his worst. But when he's at his best, he 3 or 5 step and he gets the ball out of his hands. But you'll see in the film room piece tonight on Eagles Live.
Eagles Nightly.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Eagles Nightly tonight at 7 Eastern. Cosell does a great job of breaking it down, how they're doing it. And I'm telling you, the discipline with the secondary has got to be big because Eli is so accurate. He's getting the ball out of his hands. And these guys are all making plays. Manningham has had a really good year. Hakeem Nicks is fighting through injury. I'll be interested to see how Juan Castillo plays his front and what he does here because you're gonna have to try something else. Their line's still pretty good, and they go with a ton of two tight end.
Yeah. A power team that is not quite as much power anymore. The Giants throw the ball
offense,
down the field,
Dave.
And they throw it, they do it very, very well. Adam Kaplan, we thank you for joining us here in the studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, online banking with bill pay, and the flexible options you need to help make the pieces of your life or your business fit together a little better. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active. We'll be right back.
Eagles fans what it's like watching their favorite team on Xfinity. So we went into Lincoln Financial Field and gave them the best seats in the house. If you want the Eagles, you want Xfinity, your home for the most live sports.
Vic gives to McCoy. First down and more. 40, 35, 30, 25, 20. McCoy in for the touchdown! A 49-yard touchdown run by Shady McCoy.
Hi, I'm LaShawn McCoy, and you're watching Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Where do you go to find a super business? You know, the ones who do such a super job, they're backed by the super guarantee. Only Super Pages. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, you'll find the super business you need. So next time, let the good guys save the day. Get the super guarantee, only at Super Pages. In the book, on your phone, or online.
All right, Dave Spadaro back here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We have returning to the lineup. Evan Mathis practicing. He'll start at left guard, barring any setbacks. And Nate Allen returns to the safety position as a starter. He and Kurt Coleman will get the start. So those are just two things that we kind of have overlooked in this week of what's wrong with the Eagles and is Michael Vick going to play and how do you beat the New York Giants on Sunday. So we look forward. I thought Nate Allen was playing very good football. We had a chance to speak to him about his health, getting back on the field. Let's throw it over now to Nate Allen.
Play here and there and, you know, just play here and there. That's about it. That's what it comes down to. You know, execution is and take yourself out of it.
Last time you were at the Meadowlands.
Yeah, yeah.
Going to remind you.
Right, man. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's all good. I'm not superstitious or anything like that, so I'm not sure, but it's just that happened last year, and it was. It is what it is, and look forward to this.
How much you look forward to showing just how healthy you are and how good that you and Kirk can be back there when you guys are working together?
I'm real excited. You know, I'm excited to get back in, and feels like I've been out forever, and just looking forward to this. Me and Kirk, you know, we have good chemistry back there together and the corners and the entire defense, so we're looking forward to this.
I know it seems like that you guys have matured as a defense since that first meet against the Giants. There were a lot of mental misuse in that game. That was a game that you really kind of had your coming out party of sorts in there. How much has this defense grown? I know there's still been the fourth quarter issue, but how much have you guys grown since that first meeting with the Giants?
A lot. You know, I think we've grown game to game. You know, we've come a long way since then, and, you know, we're still improving, and we'll be ready.
How close were you to coming back last week? How tough was it for you to sit out and watch the game last week?
It was real tough. You know, you always, as a competitor, you want to get in there and play no matter what it is. But, you know, I knew it wasn't the smart thing to do. You know, definitely want to worry about your health and safety first. So.
How good is Eli Manning playing right now?
Oh, he's playing great. You know, he's a heck of a quarterback, and he's making a lot of plays, and, you know, he's carrying that team. You know, he's leading them.
It seems like he's playing at a high level each and every week. It seems like he doesn't have any of these highs and lows that he's had in the past. That every week you're getting very good play out there.
Yeah. He's real consistent right now, and you know, he's got a lot of offensive weapons with him. So be a good matchup. It'll be fun.
Cool. Yeah, I appreciate it, man. Thanks.
All right, we're back. Dave Spadaro with you here, and we're gonna guys, we're back from the locker room, right? How is it in there? Boring? All right. We had Trent Cole here. We have Adam Kaplan here. Chad Hall, new to the team again, new to the active roster, promoted yesterday from the 53-man, or from the practice squad to the 53-man roster. Sounds like he's going to be in uniform on Sunday. Will he play? I don't know. I like his fire. I like his professionalism. I like his energy. And we spoke to him last night for Eagles Nightly.
Welcome back to Eagles Nightly here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, and I'm pleased to be joined by, I don't want to say the newest Eagle because he's been here for two seasons now, but the newest addition to the 53-man roster, wide receiver Chad Hall. And Chad, usually the news of a roster addition happens like first thing in the morning. it came out in the locker room session this afternoon, and you, in fact, didn't get to sign the contract until after practice?
That's right. It wasn't, you know, technically official until after practice, probably about 4 o'clock today. So that's when I, you know, say I found out about it. But, yeah, word went around right after our first practice.
So what is it like for you? Because it was very similar to what happened last year. You spent the first few weeks of the season on the practice squad, get promoted to the active roster. What's it like for you this time around, having been through that experience last year?
I mean, I knew what to expect this year, you know. And now I'm not going into this game nervous. You know, I've been there before. So, I mean, I have a lot more confidence than I did last year. You know, I feel like I'm a lot better player. And I'm not thinking about what I'm doing. I'm just going out there and running routes or whatever I'm doing and having fun. So I'm looking forward to Sunday.
What was it like for you last year in that regular season finale against Dallas, where you got to catch the touchdown? One of the great photos of the entire season is a celebration of you after that touchdown. What was it like to get that experience after not playing football for 2 years and working your way to get back in the NFL and finally getting the opportunity with the Eagles?
It was great. I mean, went through that whole season, and then that last game, you know, we set ourselves up for the playoffs, so we had...
Here's a touchdown right here, so...
Well, yeah, I'm a little... The first Lincoln Leaf ever, I was told. But no, it was an awesome experience, and it got me some great experience, you know, on-field experience as well. So I think that game helped me a lot.
Just talk about the confidence it gave you going into the offseason, knowing that you can succeed, knowing that you could do what it takes to make it in the NFL. How did it help with your workouts and your preparations going into the training camp and ultimately this season?
I think, like you said, it gave me a bunch of confidence. And knowing that I can... you know, do well in this league, and as long as I'm given the opportunity. So I worked my butt off this offseason and through training camp and during the preseason. So now it was just getting our guys ready from week to week on the practice squad, you know, going against our defense and trying to give them the best look as possible, which also makes myself better. So I feel like I'm ready for Sunday and looking forward to it.
How tough is that, and how tough is it to be that patient waiting for the opportunity where week after week the season goes on, you're like, I just want another chance to go out there and show what I could do? How tough was it to be patient like that?
I mean, it was very tough, especially since I had been there before, you know, and then I was back on the practice squad. And, you know, knowing the feeling of playing on Sundays and everything like that. I mean, it was tough, but something you can either go in and have a bitter attitude about, or you know, how I took it is I have to get better every day. The next day could be the time where they bring me up. And so I got to be ready for it. So
in the last couple of weeks, who are some of the guys that you've mimicked on the practice squad? Going back to last week with Arizona, who was the guy that you played?
I played Stuckey last week, number 12. But usually I play their smaller, quicker guy, or a lot of times it's their main target. So, and then, I mean, there's nothing better than going up against our, you know, we've got some of the best cornerbacks in the league, and so going one-on-one every day. I mean, that's the best way to get better.
Now, would you study film of the other guy at all, or did you just...
No.
You just go out there and...
Yeah, we went out there, and then our quarterbacks, we change the route just a little bit to it being our route and the routes we run, so we would get work as well.
Now, not only could you possibly be active because of Jerry Macklin's situation this Sunday, but you might be the main return guy. Just talk about how your experience from last season and the preseason will help you being thrown into the fire almost, so to speak, possibly this Sunday night, prime time against the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, it's something, you know, returning, I've done it since I was a little kid, you know, in Pee Wee football. So, I mean, it's something I really enjoy doing, and, you know, it's pretty much best teams about making someone miss and just getting upfield. So, something I like to do, and I feel I'm good at it.
What do you remember about the miracle at the New Meadowlands from last year, the last time that you guys went to play the Giants up there?
I mean, that was awesome. That was one of the best games I've ever been a part of. I mean, just how it happened, that whole fourth quarter, and then to the locker room, I mean, it was an exciting game.
How will you celebrate tonight?
Watch some film. You know? So, you know, call my parents, call my family, and watch some film.
Chad Hall, your newest member of the 53-man active roster. Thank you very much for joining us here inside the studio on Eagles Nightly.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, online banking with bill pay, and the flexible options you need to help make the pieces of your life or your business fit together a little better. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
Show Eagles fans what it's like watching their favorite team on Xfinity. So we went into Lincoln Financial Field and gave them the best seats in the house. If you want the Eagles, you want Xfinity, your home for the most live sports.
Where do you go to find a super business? You know, the ones who do such a super job they're backed by the super guarantee? Only Super Pages. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, you'll find the super business you need. So next time, let the good guy...